Now that I am properly re-energized after a swig of my vitamin water energy that I should not be drinking, this is yet another episode of Pop Culture Uncovered. Pete's already giving me the shaking chagrin, so he's probably going
to
edit
Why are you drinking something you're not supposed to be drinking?
Because I'm trying to have the energy to do a proper podcast, and you know what? Sometimes victory has its sacrifices, which in my case would probably be my blood sugar levels. But I digress. There is this wonderful human being who we torment on this show consistently episode by episode, but he's actually an amazing human being. His name is Pete. You might be familiar with him if you've ever listened to the podcast. And I thought, as a sign of the holiday spirit, I would like make an effort to be nice to Pete for opportunity to share his three favorite things in pop culture he loved this year. But on that note, Pete, would you like to share for the whole audience your first favorite thing of the year?
You know how hard it was to come up with things. I keep thinking of things that I've watched, you know, both on the small screen and the big screen. And the truth is, there was a lot of things I was looking forward to seeing this year, a lot of which just kind of fell short of the mark. The Marvels was a really fun movie, and I certainly didn't hate it the way a lot of certain people hated it. But it just didn't get there for me. Guardians of the Galaxy didn't get where I wanted it to get. So many shows on Netflix, Ahsoka didn't get where I wanted it to get. Like, I'm so glad I got to see it. I'm so glad it was made. But there were a lot of shows that really just fell short of my expectations. So it took me a minute to try to think of the ones that largely didn't. And so I've got my three. So the first, which just before we started recording popped into my head, which I had forgotten about a little, but it's not a bad sign. It's just how it was. Poker Face. So we were talking, I think, on the last episode about how much we all love the Last Jedi, right? Collectively, it's just the best. Rian Johnson has done a lot of really good things, but maybe Star Wars isn't one of them, but Poker Face is.
Hold on. Star Wars maybe might not be one of them.
I mean, look, we're just gonna let it be. Like, we all know how we feel, right? He's moved on. We've got to move on. And what he's moved on to are more Knives Out movies, and hopefully more than just Glass Onion. And also this, Murder Mystery Poker Face, which is on Peacock. If you had told me that, Rian Johnson created miniseries starring Natasha Lyonne was going to be one of my favorite shows this year, I would still be laughing if you'd said it. But man, it was really fun. So you have this woman who's already kind of the premise of the show. You have this woman who's working in a casino. She's already kind of living in the shadows, and you don't quite know why. She seems really brilliant, really suspicious of people, and kind of fun. Look, at this point, Natasha Lyonne just does this character that just kind of came out of like 1940s New York. And also 1970s New York. And she's just, I can't tell where she ends and the character begins and vice versa. But she does play Charlie Kale, who's a cocktail waitress, who basically she has a superpower. We don't want to call it that, but it really is she can basically instantly tell when somebody is lying to her. And she, you know, people are aware of this. Powerful people are aware of this. And so they leverage that skill that she has. And she leverages it to basically try to get out of her crappy situation. But it takes a terrible turn. And one of many extremely famous people who shows up in this show for always like one episode, Adrian Brody, who ends up playing the son of a casino owner. He ends up dying in the process along with some other people. And so she has to go on the run. She's being pursued by Benjamin Bratt's character, who is working for Ron Perlman. So I'm just, with the first episode, I'm loving everything about all these different people who are showing up. And so she's basically on the run from the mob, more or less, going from town to town, and murders are happening. And because she can sense what, you know, when people are lying, she sort of inadvertently stumbles into situations where she has to solve the murder because she keeps just figuring out that people are lying and, you know, and can't help but pull the threads on that sweater. And so it's weirdly charming. I don't know how to describe how good it is because it reminds me, a kid of the 80s, of Murder, She Wrote. And how, like, if you look at it, looking back now, Angela Lansbury is so weird and quirky. And that whole show is weird and quirky when you have this little lady walking around and solving murders. There's the charm of that, which I didn't think I would ever be reminiscent for. And then also the charm of this show having just such a dirty, gritty kind of angle. And she's going all around to these places where you're like, feasibly, this is the only place you could hide for a very long time. And she continues to end up, and it isn't formulaic. The murders happen and the way things unfold happens very differently for each of the stories. And I won't lie, in a lot of ways, it feels like it's almost a farewell tour for a lot of actors who have showed up in this show. Whereas Ellen Barkin, I haven't seen doing things in a while, and she's amazing in the episode that she shows up in.
Her and Tim in that episode are so freaking good.
Yes.
Tim Meadows and her together. I would have never put those two people together in my mind. And they are together. The chemistry is crackling. And they are so freaking phenomenal in that episode.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot like that. And then Judith Light shows up, which I'm like, I haven't seen Judith Light in forever. I haven't seen Nick Nolte in forever. Luis Guzman is also brilliant. Yeah, there's just a lot of folks who show up and make the show a lot of fun. And you're like, it doesn't even matter if it like feels like a guest star has just been smushed into this story, because that's kind of the fun of it. It doesn't take itself too seriously. And yet the crime solving is compelling. You don't know. I love that when like you don't know who's done it, so you're trying to figure it out at the same time and try to, you know, try to like figure out, okay, how this is how the story is going to unfold. This is who it's going to be. And then you still get flipped. And then so the end of season one ends with a cliffhanger, and we hear this ominous voice on the phone who is now, you know, in pursuit of Charlie. And it took me a second. I was like, I know that voice. She just sounds so scary. It's Rhea Perlman. I've never heard Rhea Perlman where I was like, this woman is terrifying. I hope she doesn't murder me too. So it's a fun show. And I wish it was more than 10 episodes, but that's my first pick.
So, all right, we're off to a good start.
I will say Poker Face was one of the surprises of last year, man. My mom was like, you need to come watch the show with me. And I was like, okay. And we sat there, and when I tell you, we watched like 4 episodes back to back, and I was like, I have to go do things, but this show is so good.
we clicked it on. We were like, it could be good. And that is usually the sign of we will watch one episode and never come back.
You know, I don't even know why I bother doing this podcast with the two of you. Because once one of you likes something, this like, it's like freaking frat. I can count on the face. It's like, oh, the Wonder Twins have decided that something is good. Therefore, it must be. But fine. Let's see if that historical trend continues. Pete, what is your second damn pick for the thing that you like this year in pop culture?
So my next is a twofer. I've been following a lot of the new Trek. I basically watched all of the episodes, I've watched all of the shows that have rolled out in the last 4 or 5 years with Star Trek on Star Trek in the name, sometimes in name only. Look at you, Picard. And actually, I like the third season of Picard, which was the entire point. That's all they wanted, was to just buy me back with nostalgia, and I fell for it. But still, I know I'm being tricked. So I have enjoyed some of Picard. Discovery, I was much more enthusiastic for in the beginning, and I kind of come and go with it. There's some characters that just really drag the show down, to the point where it's hard to watch, but I'm staying with it. I'm loyal to the show. It has been good, and there have been some good characters. And so I'm excited for the last season coming up. But Then sort of the spinoff of the spinoff of the spinoff of the reboot is Strange New Worlds, which ostensibly takes place before we meet Kirk. Well, before we have Captain Kirk, I should say, and the crew, most of the crew that we know and love from the original series. And it seems they're playing very, they're staying within the bounds of this could actually be the prequel to the original series if you squint just a little and don't quite look this way or that way. And so what you have are the adventures of, you know, Captain Pike and his crew, and it's only gotten better. And this past season was emotionally hard. It was tricky because romances that are sort of hinted at in the original series have been like fully fleshed out, including a little bit of Chapel and Spock, which was much more gut-wrenching than I expected. The action's been really exciting, but probably the most exciting aspect of it is the crossover I never expected to see with the animated adult comedy Star Trek series Lower Decks, which is about the most charming thing on television when it comes to sci-fi. I don't know how something manages to do so many things. Lower Decks, if you look at the animation and you've seen any of the trailers for it, Lower Decks, it looks almost like, oh, from the people who, you know, were inspired by Family Guy and Rick and Morty. And that made it to where I was like, I'm not sure I want to watch this. I'm not sure. And I think a lot of other folks, like, I'm not sure this is going to be the Star Trek that's for me because it doesn't feel loyal. And it's really only in the animation style that it feels that way. There's definitely adult comedy. There's definitely adult comedy gags, the kind that you see in adult animated series these days. But it's so Trek. I don't know how to explain how faithful it is. It's humor either drawn from experiencing and enjoying a ensemble cast do really funny things, but two, it draws on your knowledge of established Star Trek. So you don't have to get the joke, but you kind of know there's a joke there. But if you've watched each of the series, there's something in there for you that will make a reference. Sometimes it's a comedic reference, and sometimes it's just a reference to, like, this is an alien race we met and we could not possibly have created in real life. No matter, you know, or the effects budget would just be way too expensive, but we can animate it, or we can call back to animated stuff from previous animated series, all going all the way back to the 70s. Lower Decks to me is just like, it's made by people who love Star Trek, who are gonna tease it and make fun of it a little, but in that way of like, you can only make that joke if you already loved Star Trek to begin with. You can't make that joke if you're making fun of Star Trek. They're the jokes that we make when we talk about things as, you know, Trek fans. And honestly, the cast is just so much fun. Jack Quaid is amazing. Tawny Newsom is just a freaking delight. And I loved most of all this year seeing the crossover episode where we get live action Boimler and live action Mariner and see them interact with the crew of Strange New Worlds, in part because Strange New Worlds has also found a way to lighten up Star Trek and just be a little campy and just be a little silly and just be, you know, like, you know what? The original series did these things like where, you know, the bad guys had goatees. We'll do a musical episode and we'll barely explain how it works. And to me, that's when Star Trek is trying really hard to tell a human story, even if the science fiction can't keep up with it, that to me is what real Star Trek feels like and has always felt like. And so that's why I love both of these series, and the crossover episode was the highlight.
I'm a diehard DS9 guy, so I haven't really watched since then. But I will say, one, I think every Trek, even the most casual, which I would put myself as a casual fan, always wanted to know more about Captain Pike. The one time we saw him in the two-parter in the original series, it was kind of like the, oh God, the Enterprise has a history before Kirk. What happened? Where were they? What were they doing? So I feel like it's kind of, and I felt like that pilot episode that never really kind of aired, that, you know, that wasn't kind of like widely aired, that was always a huge thing for fans. And so I'm not surprised like I couldn't get into Discovery, but I could see you've talked me into. I'm going to at least check out a couple of episodes of Strange New Worlds.
I would go to, you know what, they go back to Deep Space Nine on Lower Decks, and almost every one of the original actors is there, and that makes it incredibly fun.
Strange New Worlds, y'all know I hated Picard. I noped out at the end of the first season, and every time I tried to get back into it, I just wanted to punch a baby. So I absolutely loathe that show. And Strange New Worlds is for Star Trek what Loki was for Marvel, where I was like, oh, damn it. Now y'all done pulled me back in.
Right.
How dare you? How dare you? Because it's that good. And that is saying a lot, because Star Trek, Picard was such a disappointment, and I hated it so very much. So much. Like, we could do a whole episode on how much I hated that show and why, and I could break it down character by character. That I was done. I didn't want to mess with Star Trek no more. And Strange New Worlds brought me right back in.
Yeah, and I've really enjoyed how it was cast. I love the idea of, like, look, this show puts itself out front with a much more diverse cast, knowing that some of these characters are going to go away and we'll get to the original crew. But it everyone just feels like they fit. But I also feel that way, honestly, about Lower Decks. It's so much fun. And also just does a great job of representing all of the pieces and bits and pieces of Star Trek we've seen over the years. My third pick. Armand, I'm so...
Because this is the season of giving, I will give you a third pick, even though technically you don't damn well deserve it. But go ahead, Pete. What is your third pick for the thing that you like most in pop culture this year?
I'm not even going to tell you now. I had to throw this in for a reason. And that is, you guys know how I feel about sci-fi. When sci-fi kind of stops, when sci-fi starts to like veer off into fantasy or weird sentimentality, when, you know, a good sci-fi show goes, or a good sci-fi movie goes for a little bit, and then as we drift towards the end, it becomes weird and spiritual, or it becomes, it was about love the whole time. It's really hard to find sci-fi that will just commit and be sci-fi. And from the first spooky and creepy and strange trailer, all the way into the actual animated episodes, Scavenger's Reign, which is on Max, is hard sci-fi in a way that is sometimes really hard to watch. It feels like it was just written by survivalists and biologists, and people who took a lot of acid. The show is an animated series in that is centered around basically a crew of castaways. They're on a freighter, which a space freighter, which runs into some trouble and crash lands on it. Well, partially crash lands on a planet below. So the escape pods have landed on the planet, but the ship itself remains in orbit. And so you have a handful of survivors, and you see that not everyone has survived. There's pods that are just sort of gruesomely smashed here and there. And you have these groups of scattered survivors sort of exploring the wilderness of a planet and trying to survive in the wilderness of a planet that is just terrifying, but has like a very believable ecosystem. And that's the part that's just been, it keeps it tense the whole way through. It took months to get through this series because every episode you have characters who are fighting the environment to get where they need to get. And then you have sort of the character's own emotional conflict with each other. You have a character who crash lands with a robot who is programmed to, you know, protect her and provide for her at all times in all ways. And the robot starts getting curious about the world around it. And you can't tell, is this a function of the robot that the way it was built? Or is it the fact that the planet seems to have this ability to bond with both biological forms and robotic forms? And so people aren't really safe. It appears, you know, the robots aren't, the robot population isn't very safe. And so everybody's just trying to figure this thing out. and they're all scattered and experiencing the planet in weird and different ways. No, differently terrifying ways as they, you know, try to get the ship to land and get aboard the ship. It is a terrifying planet, I think, in part because of how realistic everything seems to have been thought out. It's how would, with every single one of these creatures or life forms that we encounter, it's somebody thought about how would this thing reproduce? How intelligent would it be? How would it survive? What would it eat? How would it acquire that food? And thinking in those terms, thinking that deep, you don't even have to explain it. You just have to animate it well enough that anyone watching is just like it's you can't blink when you're watching this show, and you can barely breathe because things are so tense. It's a lot to get through, but it's an amazing show, especially if you're a person who's just like, I'm here for hard sci-fi. Like, I'm here for my Star Treks, but I'm also here for like sci-fi that feels very immersive and a lot scary, if for no other reason than just its utter strangeness.
That's fantastic. That sounds like just the type of thing I want to watch during the holiday season to bond with my family.
See what happens when you give me another choice?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why we only do it on the end of the year show. Well, dear listener, I hope you are enjoying the holiday season. This is episode 2 of PCU's Favorite Things of the Year. Join us for, now I guess this is technically the penultimate episode. So join us for the final episode of the season, not of the whole show, of the season, when I reveal to you truly the three greatest things in pop culture this year, as opposed to like the nice, polite, honorable mentions that you've been hearing from my co-hosts on these last two episodes. Check us out on Patreon, because of course we always appreciate your support. Check us out on Facebook and YouTube. So for Belle and for Pete, this is Armand. I'll see you for our ultimate top three pick. Until then, enjoy yourself, be well, and remember, if they give you potato salad with raisins in it, it means that they don't like you. Peace, y'all.